the faithfulness of God. Would we all agree that God is faithful? Can we have just theology by democracy? Okay. Yes, God is faithful. But I want to read you a passage of Scripture, and I don't want you to turn to it. It's in Lamentations chapter 3, but I don't want you to turn. I just want you to listen. And I promise that I'm reading what it says, okay? But I want you just to listen. God is faithful. Jeremiah is writing, and he says, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me, and again all day long. He has made my skin and flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I call out or cry out for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He has made my paths crooked. Like a bear lying in wait or like a lion in hiding, he dragged me from the path and mangled me and left me without help. He drew his bow and made me the target for his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. I became the laughingstock of all my people. They mocked me in song all day long. He has filled me with bitter herbs and given me gall to drink. He's broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for being faithful. And I ask, Lord, that you would speak tonight through your Holy Spirit. That you would teach us, that you would remind us of something, that you would bring to mind something that we haven't thought of in a while. But that you would speak, that you would bring encouragement and help and hope from your word. So, Lord, please take this time and help us to fix our minds and our hearts on you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So that first section of that scripture doesn't sound like God's faithful. Sounds more like he's cruel and heartless, angry. Well, God was punishing Israel and Jeremiah as a part of that. Here's a good commentary word. Jeremiah was probably writing this as a collective personage. You didn't know I knew phrases like that, did you? Well, I didn't. It came from a commentary. What it means, Jeremiah was suffering and the whole nation was suffering. So all of them together are suffering. And he's writing this as, yes, as a first person that he's doing that, but the whole nation was suffering in that way. But then he remembers his wanderings. Not wondering, I'm wondering about this. No, he remembers his wanderings, his turning away from God, his getting off of the path. He remembers his wanderings and the bitterness that came with that. But then he's reminded of God's great love and of His faithfulness. So, what does faithfulness mean? Well, we'll start off with the obligatory A.W. Tozer quote. All of God's acts are consistent with all of His attributes. No attribute contradicts any other, but all harmonize and blend into each other in the infinite abyss of the Godhead. God, being who He is, cannot cease to be what He is. He is at once faithful and immutable, so all His words and acts must be and must remain faithful. There's another one that I like from Wikipedia. That's probably more my speed, actually. But faithfulness is the concept of unfailingly remaining loyal to someone or something and putting that loyalty into consistent practice regardless of extenuating circumstances. I like that definition. Can I put it in a crude West Texas quote? Come hell or high water, I'm going to do what I said. And I think God would, I don't know if He'd use those terms exactly, but that's what that means. God said that. We can trust Him. He is faithful. Chip Ingram said God is faithful to His word, to His promises, to His people, to His character, because He cannot be otherwise. You can depend on Him 100% of the time. He will never let you down. He may not do what you want Him to, or do exactly when you want Him to, or even how you want Him to. He may not orchestrate it in a way that you can understand it now, or perhaps ever, but He will never let you down. Chip Ingram wrote a book called God as He Longs for You to See Him. And he had a good outline of how God demonstrates His faithfulness. Now, I use other people's music all the time, and I don't have a problem with using other people's music. He had this great outline, and so this is stolen straight from Chip Ingram, from his outline. The first part of this is Chip's outline. So I'll give him credit for that so that I won't be plagiarizing anybody. The first one, He demonstrates His faithfulness through His creation. Psalm 119:90 says, Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth and it endures. He established the earth. He put things into effect in the earth. We have gravity. We have fresh water. We have salt water. We have seasons. We're not too hot or too cold. We're the correct distance away from the sun so that we won't be burned off the face of the earth or frozen off the face of the earth. With His whole creation outside of the earth, our solar system, and then places way past that, He is faithful to put those laws in place and to make that work. If you're a mathematician, it is magnificent to look at all the orbits that all the different planets do and think, how in the world could this happen without somebody crashing into somebody else? But it works. He's faithful in His creation. He is faithful through His people. He made this promise to Abram in Genesis chapter 12 that we have read a lot about, that He would make him into a great nation. And we know all that. Well, later on, in chapter 15, God said to him, To your descendants I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites and a lot of other ites. And then He made a covenant with him, a very serious covenant. And He told Abraham to bring a cow, a goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. So he was to bring all of these things, and the larger animals he cut in half, and he laid them out on either side. And if Hassan and I were going to make a Jewish covenant like this, then he and I both would walk through in between those animals. And that covenant said if Hassan broke that covenant or if I broke that covenant, then we are to become like those animals that are cut in half. So God was about to make this covenant with Abraham, with Abram at this time. He was still Abram. But God put Abram into a deep sleep. And God walked through between the animals, not Abram. So God's covenant that he had made with Abram and that he stated a lot of different times was not based on Abram's or Abraham's faithfulness. It was based on God's faithfulness. And it's a good thing that it wasn't based on Abraham's faithfulness or on the nation of Israel's faithfulness or on any of our faithfulness. But it's based on God's faithfulness and His alone. And that's why that stands. He made another promise, Matthew 16, 18, through His people. He said, I tell you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. So He made a promise to build and to preserve His church. Look at all the things that God's church has gone through from the beginning, from the day of Pentecost, even to today. Look at all the things that His church has gone through. But He has built His church and He has established that so it wouldn't fail. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. One of the things I read in I get an email thing called China Source for some obvious reasons. And I'm interested in things like that going over there. And one of the articles, probably a month or two ago, said something about the Chinese people were praying for the church in America to be persecuted so that the people in God's church will become stronger under that persecution, because that's what's happened in the church in China. Important things. God will let His church be preserved and built. He demonstrates His faithfulness through His Spirit. John 14, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Okay, Jesus is comforting His disciples at this time. He said He's not going to leave us alone. He's going to be with us and in us. His Spirit dwells in us and empowers us to do what we can't do on our own. My Sunday school teacher mentioned something a few weeks ago about the day of Pentecost. When we think of Pentecost, we think of everybody, the disciples of Jesus were speaking in tongues. People were hearing them speak in their own language. It was an incredible miracle. But maybe, and I thought that this was a good point, maybe the most impressive miracle was not the speaking and the hearing in their own languages, but maybe it was the boldness that the Holy Spirit brought in them. Because these 120 disciples were hiding in a room. They were all scared, and with good reason to be scared. But with the coming of the Holy Spirit came that boldness that they hadn't had before. The Spirit works in our lives and helps us to do things that we cannot on our own do. So He demonstrates His faithfulness through His Spirit. He demonstrates His faithfulness through His character. Isaiah 25:1, Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You and praise Your name, for in perfect faithfulness You have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. So before the foundations of the earth, God made plans, and He's been faithful that those plans have worked out. Now, are God's plans always go along with my plans? No, I can tell you, no, they don't. But God is faithful to follow through with all of those. In Psalm 23:3, that's not up here, Psalm 23:3, you know well, He leads me in the paths of righteousness, what? For His name's sake. Not He leads me in the path of righteousness so everybody can say, good job, Scott. But He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Because my words and my actions and your words and your actions can either cast a shadow on God's character or be a blessing to God's character. God's character is not going to change. But what other people may see Him as, if somebody catches me telling a dirty joke somewhere, that if I'm walking around in Lowe's and I tell a dirty joke to somebody at Lowe's, and they think, wow, I thought that guy was a Christian. In fact, somebody told me he led the music at that church down there. Don't think I want to go to that church. God's character doesn't change, but He leads us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Not just for our own sake. He demonstrates His faithfulness through His Word. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without wavering, without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. His word speaks to us about Him. We don't gather here on Sundays just to listen to a speaker, just to sing some songs, just to do some things. We come to hear from God, from His Word, and learn of Him and be encouraged in Him. Not because we've got great lecturers, but because of Him and His Word. He demonstrates His faithfulness through His Word. He demonstrates His faithfulness through His Son. Isaiah says, righteousness will be His belt and faithfulness the sash around His waist. Revelation 19:11 says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. Jesus was faithful in His earthly walk. Jesus was faithful when times became tough. When He went to the garden and He prayed, a rough Wells translation, Father, if there's a plan B, could we go with that? Because plan A is really going to hurt. And I don't look forward to that at all. But then He was faithful. And He said, but not what I want, but what You want. And because of His faithfulness, we have a reason for meeting here in this place. Because of His faithfulness, we can have salvation. Because of the price that He paid. Because of the horrible pain and the horrible death and everything that He did. We can have salvation through Him. And I'm thankful for that. So that we know God is faithful in all these ways and many more. What does that mean to me in everyday life? We can learn lots of knowledge. But if we don't apply that knowledge, it doesn't do a lot of good. I just pictures come to my mind. The choir people understand this. And the rest of you don't know how many pictures that come to my mind that I don't say, and you're probably thankful of all that. But the picture came to my mind of a kid that Renee and I went to school with. He was 3 years younger than us. He was a brilliant kid, smart with books, knew his stuff. It's kind of scary. He went to the Air Force, Air Force Academy, and did well in that. But smart kid. But my mom said, but he didn't have enough sense to come in out of the rain. We can be really smart, but if we don't apply all this in our lives, if we don't take God's faithfulness and make it a part of who we are, we're missing a boat. Well, what does this mean to somebody like me? He's faithful when we're weak. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, backing up a little bit, beginning in verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." God, just to back up, this is extra. Okay, this doesn't have anything to do. Theologians have been arguing for years and years and years. What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? We don't know what it was. Was it bad eyesight? Was it some kind of sickness? Well, if you just read, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. His thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan. That word messenger is the same word for angel. So an angel of Satan, in other words, a demon. There was a demon that was buffeting Paul through all of this. Okay, so we can settle that theological discussion there and go on. Okay? For my power, God said, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, some probably dumb illustrations to you, but it's meant a lot to me. With God's power, I have had a fear of needles for a long, long time. My mom has carried me out of doctor's offices after I've passed out. My dad has carried me out of doctor's offices because I was big enough and my mom couldn't pick me up. Has carried me out of doctor's offices when I've passed out. Renee has not carried me, but she's held me until I came back around, and we could go places. I don't like needles. But starting about 18 years ago, I had to start taking insulin shots. And I give myself 5 shots a day, and I don't think about that. From day one, that has never been a problem. And that is not my own power. That is God's power and an illustration of what He does and what I can't do. When Ezra was in the hospital, he had stuff plugged into him from the top of his head to his toe. Stanley has way, way too many stories about times that we've walked into hospital rooms and then he turns around and Scott's gone because Scott's backed out into the hall and Scott's sitting down out in the hall so I wouldn't pass out in front of all these other people. We walked in one time to see John Williams. And I saw him the first time in the hospital. He just had, you know, a neck brace thing on. And so we went in there and we just walked right in. Well, he had a halo thing on his head. Now, if you don't know what that is, they put screws into your head. He had 4 screws in his head. And I'm standing there thinking, those things are screwed into his head. And so I very calmly backed out into the hall and I sat down out in the hall and then comes Floyd Shoemaker walking up. Are you okay? Are you okay? I will be. I'll be fine. But I don't do things like that well. But when Ezra was in the hospital, I sat by his bed for hours. And never once did I ever think about passing out. Did I ever think about having to leave because, whoa, I don't want to see that. Because Ezra had a screw in his head right up here and a hole in that screw and a tube that went in to his brain to relieve the pressure on his brain. And I was okay. And that's not my own strength. That is God's faithfulness. to be able to do that. It's important. He's faithful when we're weak. He is faithful when we're tempted. We all have temptations. We all have different temptations. But He is faithful in that. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. He's faithful to provide us a way of escape from that temptation. Now, in order to do that, in order to escape from that, we have to lean on Him. We have to, like, is it Colossians that says, set your mind on things above? We have to set our minds. It takes a conscious choice. I'm going to set my mind on what God has said. Not on, I think this would be a good idea. Well, I don't know. We have to set our mind. We have to count on Him and His faithfulness in the middle of all that. So He provides a way for our temptation. He is faithful when we sin. He was faithful, like we've already talked about, going to the cross. He is faithfulness now in our lives. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can stay forgiven with Him. We can keep that pipe between us and Him cleaned out, where there's not any sin there between us. We can stay confessed up with Him, and we're free from sin. We can walk in His righteousness when we confess our sin. He is faithful in our everyday lives. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you or forsake you. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So God is always there. He will give us wisdom for our daily decisions if we ask Him. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. So does it take an action on our part to have God's wisdom? Yes, it does. We need to set our minds on Him. We need to ask Him for wisdom. And it says if we ask, He'll give it. So we need to walk in that. We need to put that into practice. God's faithfulness is not dependent on our circumstances. He's faithful regardless of what we do or what our circumstances are. We can look around and say, boy, God's not being very faithful today. But 2 Timothy 2:13, it says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. And then Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. He has promised us, and He's going to be there. Sometimes the road is going to be marked with suffering. Sometimes we're in a land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be His name. In all those cases, He is still faithful. Some other things. That little baby was born 2.5 months. 2.5 months early. And she weighed 2 pounds and 8 ounces. And she would just about fit in my hand. And she spent the first over 2 months in her life in the neonatal intensive care unit in Yakima. But God was faithful and helped her to grow and be strong. And she's now in third grade. And that's our granddaughter named Olivia. She had a rough start, but God is faithful. Amen. I told you about Ezra a while ago. That was a picture about day 2 when we were at Harborview. And I mean very literally from the top of his head to his toe. And Renee was here keeping Olivia. And so I took this picture so they could see what things look like. And God answered way too many prayers for me to start going down that list tonight. But God is faithful, and Ezra's in second grade now. In fact, a couple of months ago, he got the Student of the Month award. So God is faithful in all of that. This is my parents' grave. My mom died 17 years ago with cancer. And, my dad died last November with pulmonary fibrosis. And we prayed and prayed for God to heal both of them. And he didn't in the way that I wanted him to. So is God still faithful? Yeah, he is. Just because I don't understand something doesn't mean that God's not faithful. His faithfulness is set, and he is. And someday I might understand it, but I'm not convinced that I will. I've heard people say, when we get to heaven, we'll understand everything. I'm not convinced of that. Because when we get to heaven, God's still going to be God, and I'm still going to not be. But God doesn't owe me an explanation. We just trust Him and say, okay, I trust you. You're faithful and you're good. And things may not go according to my exact plan, but He's faithful and we trust Him. Another picture that you'll recognize. Was God faithful to allow an attack on New York City to the Twin Towers? Was God faithful to allow that to happen? People have asked that question a lot. How can a faithful God, how can a loving God allow something like that to happen? However many people were killed there. How can a faithful God allow something like that to happen? The correct answer is, I don't know. But I know that He's faithful, and I know that He's true. We know, we have all heard lots of stories in the aftermath of that, of God's faithfulness, of how people were rescued, how people were pulled out, how people gave of themselves getting other people out, and then they died when those collapsed. We've heard all kinds of stories about God's faithfulness in the midst of terrible things. Now, why did the terrible things come in the first place? I don't know. But they did. But God still showed His faithfulness in all of that. In all these events, in the midst of struggles, He is there. He is omnipresent. We've heard about that. He is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. We've heard about that. He is wise. He knows all the things that we can't know. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's good. And we may not understand, but God still remains faithful even if we're faithless. From the scripture that I read at the very beginning, Jeremiah said all the bad things that were going on, and he felt bitter and downcast. In our culture, in our society today, sometimes we may look around and we may feel bitter and downcast. Lord, do you see what's going on in America? Do you see all these horrible, immoral things that people are saying this is right and this is good and this is legal and this is all? Lord, are you there? But in the middle of all that, that last part of that, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, I don't know where you are with God and His faithfulness to you specifically. He has shown His faithfulness through all the things that He has done for us. He's shown us His love and His compassion and His mercies. He's shown us all of that. And He said, here it is. But it's a gift. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's a gift. But when people offer us a gift, can Travis refuse this gift? Yeah, he can. He can refuse that gift. But God says, here's a gift. I've paid for it. So what are we going to do with it? We don't want to not have an opportunity for somebody to come and receive that gift. So Travis is going to come and be up here to receive you.